Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They say blood is thicker than water. And it's a way to talk about how our allegiance to our nuclear families and our extended families, that those are stronger and more powerful allegiances than most others. It's a wonderful saying, but I have to tell you, in over 25 years of being a pastor, I have not found it to be true. There's lots of things that are more powerful and less pesky than our relationships with our family members. In this day and age, in fact, it seems to me there's a kind of deification of family that isn't altogether truthful, nor is it altogether helpful. The family gets defined, of course, in lots of different ways. For much of our history, we've thought of families being a man, a woman, and their offspring. That's a family. And then their offspring, together with their spouses, and then so on and so on and so on. And I marvel at the complexity of it. I grew up in a very not-so-complex family, where you have a family tree, I have a family stump. My father was born as an illegitimate child. He never knew who his real father was. So we never could do what all of these genealogists talk about doing, tracing our way back through the history, because we could only get to my dad, and then we kind of went, argh! We sort of stopped. But some of you have incredibly complex and long histories in your families, yes? Yeah. My wife's family, they got a family tree so long, Jack could not have climbed that beanstalk. It's marvelous. But in our text for today, Jesus has gone home, and you all know what it's like to go home, right? How many of you ever avoid going home for holidays? How many of you are truthful? For years, we had Thanksgiving with our family of choice, which were our friends, rather than our family of origin, who are also our friends. All of us, there's things we have about our families that maybe we're not so keen about. Now, I'm sure all of you have perfectly wonderful, exciting, happy, and well-adjusted families. No, some of you don't. But Jesus goes home, and you know what it's like sometimes to go home? College students, it's the worst, isn't it? Right? You do your first semester away from home, and you get to be free for the first time in your life. And not that Crescent would ever do this, but I remember when I got away to college. I mean, I didn't have an all-restrictive household, but college was cool. I stayed out as late as I wanted. I did whatever I wanted. I even sometimes studied. And then you come home, and Mom says, "You have to be home at 11. "You mean tomorrow morning?" For some of us, it goes well into our 30s. You're married and you have three kids and you're home visiting for Christmas. And Mom says, "Now you kids be home by 11. Yeah. It's hard because we set up these expectations about family and what things are supposed to look like. Jesus goes home. He's overwhelmed with people who have shown up because they've heard about him. And then there's this weird interchange about the demon that gets thrown out and the work that Jesus does. And then this very strange, I was going to totally ignore it because it's almost impossible to figure out, but there's that little section that talks about the unforgivable sin against the Holy Spirit. We have no idea what that means. I just want to get that out there. Because I got to tell you, it's Mark, you want to explain it?
I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Sorry to disappoint you.
I mean, I worked on that particular phrase, and what I found out is that unfortunately, throughout most of the rest of the New Testament, throughout most of what Jesus says, there isn't anything for which you will not be forgiven. So I'm not sure why that's in that section of Mark, except that they've accused him of being crazy, of having an evil spirit. It's the only explanation that they can come up with for how this local boy, who they've all known, who's been a part of their extended family, suddenly thinks he's God. And he's performing miracles. So I want you to set that aside. I'm not sure that that little piece of Mark jibes with the rest of what Jesus says. So set that aside and concentrate instead on what happens next. Jesus has put this whole controversy, he's done his little speech, and then they say, hey, your family's waiting for you outside. And then he says something very strange. Who are my mother and my brother? Now keep in mind, Jesus had just been accused of being crazy. And I'm sure when he said, now who are my mother and my brother? They said, see, we told you. But he's suddenly beginning to expand what it means to be one of God's children. It has to do not with the blood, which is thicker than water, or who your parents were, or how you were born into this family, but how God is living in you. That's what defines family. Well, that's something altogether different. It doesn't take a birth certificate and a passport. It doesn't take a line of genealogy all the way back, as far back as you can go. It has to do with heart and word, with the work of that Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit does its work in and among the people of God, then a new family is born. But it's a different kind of family. One of the things that I've been doing over the last few, about the last year, is I've been watching old British television, which I don't recommend, but it's calming for me. And one of the things that seems to be true is that family means everything. If you're a Fitzroy, then you're a Fitzroy. And you have all of the things that go with what it means to be a Fitzroy. And if you're not a Fitzroy, you're dirt. It's all about the family name, pride, and honor. It's exclusive. What's powerful about the family that Jesus calls into being in the cross is that it is not exclusive. It's a family built on grace. And that's what Paul gets at in that letter to the Corinthians, that we have not been excluded from this family, but through the cross and by the word of God and by God's grace, we have been embraced, included, and called out. Well, that's a powerful and frankly awesome reality. And when you see it begin to play itself out within the world and within, not just within our church, but within the whole world, amazing things begin to happen. This last week I spent with 25 teenagers. Sophie, it was delightful. I have to tell you. It was fun. These kids, there were 21 of them from Maui who flew over here for a camp that we put together for them to do service. And I said to Pastor Dave, you know, I'm worried because you guys are all together. You're all one family. And then we're going to have like four of our kids who are not part of that family try to horn their way in. And there was some of that. But what I witnessed over the course of last week was how they were all bound by one thing: their love of God and their love of one another. And so it was fun. The very first day when we went out to Malahia Lutheran Church and we said, paint that. It was a summer service camp. There was a whole house and then two sheds and 16 gallons of, what color was that? Pumpkin orange almost? Yeah. It was just ugly. And we said, paint that. And all of these kids grabbed brushes and rollers and everything else, and they began to beautify God's house. By the way, we found out that not everyone grows up knowing how to paint. You'd have thought that people who've been working with youth as long as I have would think about the fact that some of them have never painted. Oy, paint everywhere. But when we were done, we were hot, we were exhausted, we were tired, but we looked at these beautiful pumpkin orange buildings that just a little while beforehand had been covered in graffiti and dirt and garbage, and they were a family. And they weren't there for their own stuff, they were there for others, they were there to share the love of God. That's what forges a family. But we always have to be careful. Because when we start to form a family, what can often happen? You're not really part of our family. The family of God must always be open. Must always embrace and not push away. Must share with open hands and not keep to itself, because Jesus has called us to that life of grace. So who is the family of Jesus? Well, it's you. You are his mother and brother and sisters and friends, cousins and uncles, third removed. Some of us more removed than others. But we all fall in God's graceful love to be part of the family. But Jesus doesn't leave you there. Because part of being in God's family is to be sent out to share that word of grace with everybody else. So as Christ's family here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu, as Lutheran Christians, as people all around the world who call Christ brother, let us open our hands to receive that Holy Spirit to make family of Christ our life. Amen.